Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an initiative by the Justice Department to go after banks who do business with payday lenders and fly-by-night online merchants that has already come under attack by Congressman Darrell Issa, who is coming to the defense of predatory lenders who, in the first case brought by the DOJ, illegally withdrew $2.4 billion from the checking accounts of bank customers across the country. Benjamin Holman, the senior financial writer for the Huffington Post, joins us to discuss how, without the help of big banks, payday lenders who have migrated from storefronts to the internet would not be able to operate outside of the U.S. and state banking regulations. Then we'll examine the spread of the publicly funded teaching of creationism and climate change denial in schools across America. Zach Coplin, an anti-creationist activist and columnist for The Guardian, joins us to discuss his new report at Slate, Texas Public Schools Are Teaching Creationism, and the for-profit charter schools that teach students Filipinos are pagans, feminists turn to the state as a surrogate husband, and that FDR's New Deal did not help the economy but instead ushered in a new era of dependency on the federal government. Then finally, we will speak with George Lakoff, a distinguished professor of cognitive science and linguistics at the University of California, Berkeley. He has an article at the Huffington Post, State of the Union 2014, The Cognitive Power of the President, that argues Obama has the power in his upcoming State of the Union speech to put important ideas in people's minds that could shape the public discourse on global warming, on chemicals polluting drinking water, on the use of immoral fuels like coal, oil, nuclear, and natural gas, as well as the ability to explode the worshipful Republican myth of job creators by redefining workers as profit creators. And joining us now is Ben Holman, who is a senior financial writer at the Huffington Post based in New York. Previously, he was a business and finance reporter at the investigative nonprofit, the Center for Public Integrity, and was also a legal affairs reporter for The American Lawyer. His story about the crash of Lehman Brothers was anthologized in the Best American Legal Writing. Welcome to Background Briefing, Ben Holman.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
And the Justice Department have just launched this new initiative, Operation Choke Point. And I take it that they consider the banks that allow payday lenders and sort of fly-by-night internet merchants access to bank to be able to drain money from unsuspecting customers' banking accounts. Let me ask you, where is the choke point in Operation Choke Point?
Well, I think you're about to get there. I mean, I think it's the banks themselves. I mean, these banks are essentially selling access to the financial system to these payday lenders, especially the internet payday lenders that have cropped up and are sort of taking over the industry.
And exactly how do they do it? I mean, I take it that the banks provide services to third-party payment processors and financial middlemen. Is that how it works?
Well, that's right. And these financial middlemen are then, the hosts for, or have as clients, rather, I guess, basically all of the internet payday providers. So it allows them direct access, essentially, to customer accounts, customer checking accounts, customer savings accounts. And these are customers who are often in states that have banned payday lending, or at least have set very strict limits on the types of interest rates that can be charged on payday loans.
So, from the customer's point of view, I mean, they must have had some relationship to the purchase. So what is the rubric under which they can extract their funds out of their checking accounts?
Well, the bargain essentially is this, someone goes online, and I mean, it used to be that you would go to your storefront lender, and that still happens in some places, but states have been cracking down, and increasing these lenders have been going online. So, you go online, you link up with a payday company, and then you agree to borrow, say, a couple $100 in exchange for paying it back at a set time, a couple weeks in the future, maybe. With whatever interest fees tacked on. Just to be clear, these interest fees, can go 300%, 500%, 1,000%. They're extremely high in some instances. And the deal that the customer thinks that they're getting is that, that they turn over their account information to the payday lender, and it makes everything easier. The payday lender deposits the money directly in their account, and then a few weeks later, withdraws it back again. But so what these, this, you know, we have one lawsuit that we've seen so far against a bank in North Carolina called Four Oaks Bank. And what it alleges is that this bank, you know, that the lenders that were using this bank would, you know, embed confusing language in the small type that, you know, stated that the bank would have the right to withdraw smaller amounts of money, thereby triggering this sort of rolling set of fees until the consumer's account was essentially dry.
And this one bank that they're going after, the Four Oaks Bank in North Carolina, the prosecutors say that the bank enabled these companies to illegally withdraw more than $2.4 billion. I mean, that's not small change.
That's just one bank. You know, they collected, I think, close to $1 million in fees for that service that they were selling. And, this is one bank, and you know, the Justice Department supposedly has its eyes on 40 or 50 at least other financial institutions. So, you know, we're talking about a lot of money. I mean, it's still surprising to me how many people, avail themselves of this service, these payday services. It's, you know, millions of people each month take out a payday loan.
Well, I remember that a law was passed some time back because payday lenders were corralling or setting up shop around military bases, like in North Carolina and the big military bases, and they were getting service people hooked on payday loans, and you know, needless to say, you know, soldiers and sailors and Marines don't get paid a lot of money. And they were basically, I believe, it might have actually been General Petraeus' wife and others who managed to push through a bill getting these payday lenders, to sort of segregating them, almost like, you know, the laws about how close you can come to an abortion clinic, that kind of a law.
That's right. Holly Petraeus pushed for that. I mean, and that is the, I mean, so this is one of the reasons why payday lending is still such a pernicious problem, is that there is that law. You're not, I believe the interest rate that you're allowed to charge a service member can't exceed 36%. I might be a little bit off on that, but it's relatively low compared to the interest rates that, civilians can be charged. But that's the only federal limit on how much a lender can charge someone. So aside from that, it's up to the states to decide how much these guys can charge.
So you're better off with the mafia, right? By long shot, if you get up to 500%, that's worse than Vigorish, isn't it?
Well, that's what and that's the complaint. Obviously, consumer advocates have. I mean, I almost hesitate to do so, but you know, the argument that these lenders make is that they are a alternative to going to, you know, a loan shark, that, you know, they're not going to break your kneecaps if you don't pay. But, I think from the perspective of someone who, you know, took out $200 and, you know, ended up paying $700, $800, $900 in fees, it's not much of a better deal.
Again, I'm speaking with Ben Holman, who's a senior financial writer at the Huffington Post based in New York. Previously, he was a business and finance reporter at the investigative nonprofit, the Center for Public Integrity, and was also a legal affairs reporter for The American Lawyer. His story about the crash of Lehman Brothers was anthologized in The Best American Legal Writing. So this Justice Department effort, and as you well know, Ben, the Justice Department has not exactly been zealous in going after Wall Street. Nobody's really of any high profile has been held to account for the 2008 crash, and there's been quite a lot of criticism of Lenny Brewer, who went through the revolving ball back to Wall Street. But now that the Justice Department appears to at least be taking on payday lenders and the banks that facilitate their activities, who should step up but Daryl Issa? And of course, Daryl Issa is I guess he never misses an opportunity to miss an opportunity to get into the limelight in terms of congressional grandstanding. But what do we know so far about his efforts to intervene on behalf of these payday lenders?
Well, you know, he sent a letter, you know, basically questioning the motives of the Justice Department. He's been consistently advocated for corporate interests, I think, since he took over the chairmanship of the Oversight Committee. So, I mean, I guess this is keeping in character with sort of his, you know, his stated mission, which is to sort of stop overzealous federal prosecutors from, you know, issuing sort of blanket subpoenas. But you know, even by that measure, it's hard to find, even in Washington, someone to stick up for the payday loan industry. But I guess ISA has decided to take that on for himself.
Well, I mean, aren't they capitalist bottom feeders? I mean, is there any? The Chamber of Commerce, people like that, surely would hold their noses, wouldn't they? Keep their distance.
Yeah, you're not going to get an argument. I'm definitely not going to argue for the value they provide to society. I mean, you know, again, you know, I've talked to these people, you know, over the years, and they always sort of lay out this setting whereby, there is a problem that exists, right? I mean, there are underbanked people. There are people who can't get credit cards, and those people have, you know, financial emergencies just like the rest of us. And so the scenario they always sort of roll out is, you know, of this single mom who, you know, her mom, you know, maybe her car broke down and she has, you know, she relies on it to get to work. And, you know, but for a payday lender, she wouldn't have been able to get the $300 to get the new transmission and she would have lost her job, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, it's certainly possible that in some isolated incidents, there are, you know, people who desperately need this money. They pay, you know, they pay a high fee, but at least they don't lose their job. But I really think that's the exception. I mean, every study that's looked at how this industry operates finds that people become essentially addicted to these products, that, you know, they borrow a little bit this month and then have to borrow a little bit more the next month to pay off that loan. They'll sometimes go from, you know, lender to lender to lender in order to keep paying off the other one. And it's just a rolling cycle. This lawsuit, this federal lawsuit describes a vortex of debt. And I think that's a pretty good, you know, description of what happens for a lot of people who get sort of sucked into these financial products, which, you know, I think are pretty hard to defend.
Well, Ben Holman, there obviously is a lobby for the payday lenders, is there not? I mean, they fought Holly Petraeus and they're alive and well, aren't they?
Oh, sure. They have lobbyists. I mean, and they've always been, I mean, you know, I think that this lawsuit is pretty interesting because, you know, the payday industry has been one step ahead of regulators and law enforcement officials for years. States have passed stricter laws, so they went online. You know, to get around those laws, some of these lenders will, you know, instead of calling them interest rates, they'll charge what are called application fees. So, for example, you know, in order to get under a, say, 30% threshold, they'll charge a 20% interest rate, but then a $50 application fee. So they've come up with these ways to get around federal rules for years. And this seems to be, an effort by fairly aggressive effort by the Justice Department to sort of tackle them head on. So, I think it's, a pretty exciting development, especially if, you know, you're in the camp that thinks that these are, you know, as you say, bottom feeders.
Well, but already, though, apparently the assistant U.S. attorney that's led the investigation, he has not been reauthorized. So, is there any indication to you, Ben Holman, that ISA, Darrell ISA, and others pressuring the Justice Department are having an effect, or is it? Do you think the Justice Department are going to stick by their guns?
Well, you know, look, I don't know ultimately what's going to come of this. We have one lawsuit which resulted in a relatively small settlement, it looks like, with this bank in North Carolina. But, you know, there is mounting evidence that the Justice Department is prepared to take on a lot more of these banks. And it seems like they have a pretty good case, you know, from a legal perspective. Again, since there's no federal usury law, there's nothing that, prevents at a federal level these lenders from offering these, you know, outrageous interest rate loans. But if they can show that, that banks were selling access to the financial system in order to, give these guys, a chance to cheat their customers, they might have a pretty good case. I don't think it's going to shut down the industry. And, I think history shows that these lenders have been able to essentially evade and come up with a new technique to kind of jump one step ahead of whatever the government has in store. But, you know, I think I'm generally encouraged. I don't know. Well, the ISIS letter scare them off? I think probably not. But, you know, I don't know for sure.
Well, it seems that the internet, you know, at large has become the new arena for organized crime. I've talked to cybersecurity people recently who said that, you know, it's the mob and international criminals, a lot of them out of the former Soviet Union, have discovered that you can make more money and it's much less dangerous, you know. And there's tons and tons of and we've just seen all of the wholesale thefts of credit cards from Target and other big retailers that apparently are being sold and you know sliced and diced amongst the criminal underworld. So in terms of the overall internet crime, this I suppose is the only internet crime that's enabled by banks, right? This is and that's what makes it got the attention of the Justice Department.
Well, yeah, you know, American banks, are party to or have to abide by something called the Bank Secrecy Act, which is required to know who their customers are and what they're doing to some extent. You know, that's, so this is the same issue that's coming into play in Colorado, where these, you know, marijuana merchants can't, you know, open banking accounts to store their money. That's because the, you know, banks are, afraid of running into conflict with the Bank Secrecy Act and, you know, possibly abetting some criminal activity or being accused of it. So that's what's essentially, you know, going on here is that they are potentially violating the Bank Secrecy Act by, allowing this activity to sort of run through their systems. I would guess that there probably is other criminal activity that happens as well. And certainly those cases come up from now and again, but, this is certainly an important one.
So there's a rumor, just in closing, that President Obama in his State of the Union tomorrow is going to come out with the gloves off and assert himself. So is this – could we make any assumption that the fact that the Justice Department that's been under a lot of criticism for not going after the so-called banksters is finally, ponying up and taking the gloves off?
Well, you know, I think it would be hard. As encouraged as I am by this, I think it would be a hard sell for the Justice Department to say, you know, use this as evidence that they've finally gotten tough on, you know, financial malfeasance on Wall Street. It's a lot easier to go after, this small bank in North Carolina. And I'm guessing most of these financial institutions are going to be, you know, smaller banks than it is to take on JPMorgan Chase or Bank of America or the, you know, the big banks that are, you know, widely blamed for having kind of brought on the financial crisis. So, I think that would be a stretch. he may well decide to, you know, kind of use this as evidence that they finally turned the corner and are cracking down. You know, I don't know.
Well, I suppose jailing a minnow is and not a whale is better than jailing nobody, I suppose.
So, indeed. This is a really pernicious financial product.
Sure.
You know, millions of people a year end up, you know, losing, who can't afford in the first, you know, these are people, by the way, who are on the margins in the first place, usually. They can't afford, to pay an extra $20 for something, much less an extra $50, $100, thousands of dollars. And sometimes it ends up, you know, basically ruining their lives. So, I mean, this is it shouldn't, you know, I don't want to undercut the importance of what's going on here.
Well, thank you very much for joining us here today, Ben Holman.
Thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Ben Holman, who's a senior financial writer at the Huffington Post based in New York. Previously, he was a business and finance reporter at the investigative nonprofit, the Center for Public Integrity, and was also a legal affairs reporter for The American Lawyer. His story about the crash of Lehman Brothers was anthologized in The Best American Legal Writing. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about how creationism, the teaching of creationism, has spread across America.